Welcome to The Positivity Effect, where paying it forward and doing something positive in someone's life can provide them with the confidence and motivation to do the same for someone else. Like a stone dropped into a lake, let's create a ripple effect of positivity throughout our world. And it begins with your host, Dr. Thomas Retscher.
Hey guys, Dr. Tom here, and I am fired up today to introduce my guest, Jeffrey Smith. Jeffrey, are you ready to spread some positivity, buddy?
Arr, let's rock it, Dr. Thomas.
Awesome.
Let's rock it.
Awesome. All right. Jeffrey Smith is a retired United States Air Force Master Sergeant. He did a variety of work, mostly in information technology. He started the podcast Vroom Vroom Veer in May 2015 to capture stories when life can veer in a new and interesting way. Sometimes we safely navigate those terms, and sometimes we crash. Either way, a veer always makes a great story to help us all learn and grow. So Jeff, take us a little deeper into your background.
Well, your reading of that bio is awesome.
Love it.
Yeah, because I just threw that together really quick, and it went. But you reading it? Wow, that was really good. You're good at that.
Thank you.
I should have you on my podcast to do my reading. I stink.
thank you.
To the point now that I hardly even do it. I kind of skip over that bit.
Just gotta zip.
yeah, I skip right over it. Yeah, but thanks for having me on my on your podcast. This is a lot of fun, and I think we're talking about the same stuff. You're more on the positive side, but we both like stories. So I think we can have some fun.
Excellent. So tell us a little bit more about the podcast.
Okay. So like you said, it's Vroom Vroom Veer. And I like it on a lot of different levels because it's sort of the niche, non-niche. You know, if you explain it, you know, it's like, okay, you're going along in life, on the road of life, and you're pretty much, you know, maybe everything's going well. You know, you got your job, you got your family, you got whatever, you got your thing going on. And then something happens, right?
Right.
And that's what I call a veer. And a veer is like an event in life where it demands your attention. So and then how you respond is how you grow to that event. And that's what we talk about. We just talk about, you know, and sometimes sometimes veers are great, you know, and you grow and you learn. And sometimes they're intentional. And sometimes it's, you know, I got cancer and then I had to deal with that. You know, so it's yeah. Open enough, you know what I'm talking about? So it can be universal, but it's niche enough to, you know, score on iTunes.
Absolutely.
There you go.
So would you say, so when someone has a veer, it really, that action, that thing that happens, there really is a decision, you know, to either in their mind, they're going to make, you know, because we're going to get good things in life. We're going to get kicked in the teeth in life. There's all, it's just, that's the fact of life.
Right.
And there is that decision to either take it in a positive light. And it's not saying, you know, something bad happens to you and you're just running around smiling and, you know, with
right.
rainbows following you that. And you're so, you know, right. you're super happy.
It's not the Pollyanna, right.
Right. But you can take it, you can think of it in a positive light and possibly flip it and learn from it and grow from it instead of just taking it and beating yourself down over and over over it.
Yeah, you know, and I think we all go through this phase. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but I think most people do eventually. Once they start getting into the positivity world, and somehow we get like this idea that positivity is the answer to everything. And that I found, I don't know what your experience is that can lead to, you know, you trying never to be negative ever.
Yes.
Which, and I let me see if I'm saying this right. You get where I'm going already, but let me see if I can be a little bit more articulate. Like if you generally something bad happens, you should feel bad. Right. You know, that's it's not Pollyanna. Like, I'm going to walk around life going rainbows and sunshine. Like you said, you know, it's not everything is in life is good and positive. But a positive outlook means at the end of the day, when bad things happen, you're not going to dwell on it, you know, and you're not going to attach any sort of identification with this event. Yes. So one of my guests said, failure is an event. It's not a person. Right?
I love that.
I know.
That's great.
Thanks, Jay Massey.
Yes.
He's awesome. Right? Yeah. It's an event, you know, so you feel bad, you know, you mourn your losses, but you celebrate your victories. And when you have a loss, you know, feel bad, go through those emotions, process them, and then move on and find the lesson. Because there's always a silver lining. I know that's cliche, but there's always a lesson to learn, you know, even if, you know, there isn't a lesson. How did I respond? Did I grow? Did I get stronger? You know, was I like a Marine in Heartbreak Bridge? Did I improvise, adapt, overcome? That's right. What you want. That's what resilience is all about.
And I'm sure, you know, you can attest to, you know, maybe someone in your own life or just hearing of a story where someone has something negative or something really rough that happens to them and it just becomes a part of their identity. And like you said, it's like a person. It's not an event.
Right. Yeah. You know, these people that, you know, most of the I guess I would characterize them as chronically negative. Eventually, you know, maybe I meet them and I'll spend some time trying to be positive around them and pull them up. But some people are just like, that's where they're going to be. And it's going to take more than, you know, sunshiny Jeff to get them out of their gloominess. And I just move away. You know, right. It's almost like some folks might need professional help. And that's okay, but they should get it. And I'm not that guy. I'm not a professional at helping people get out of the negative Nellies. Now, if somebody that is going through a rough patch, that's different. If they've already gotten to the point where, you know, they're like what your audience that you're targeting here is, the newly positive, that somehow they've turned a corner in their life and now they're for the most part positive and they're going through a rough patch, they just need a few reminders, right? They just need, maybe they need to get some better habits. Maybe they need to check on their exercise routine, you know, get their physical body more healthy, get better sleep. All of these things can make you generically more apt to see the bright side of things. I hope you agree with that. You did say yes. So,
absolutely.
You get it.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Yeah. But some folks just, they'll never pull out of it. And I don't get it, you know. It's sad.
And that's what, you know, I hope and I'm sure just from, you know, what you're doing and what I'm doing and other people that are looking to kind of spread this message, you know, it's kind of hopefully it's just putting it out there. It's putting it into the ether and even finding people, even if they're not in the group that we're looking to really help, you know, finding someone that is stuck in that way. And if they hear this and they're listening, you know, that there is hope for you and that you just have to focus and find resources that are going to positively uplift you and take you to the next point in life.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I have a story of a long friendship, and I'm currently now off of this guy. And I think positive people should be aware of this, though, that sometimes, like, I got stuck. I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I got stuck into almost like a codependent thing. So this guy was so needy and so takey of my positivity that, you know, it got like, I don't know. I was just like, I would spend any amount of time and any amount of money to get this guy, you know, just to move an inch.
Right.
You know, and at some point you have to cut that off because especially the money thing, you know, you can't be codependent. You know, at some point you have to, you know, this guy is just, I've now, you know, I still love the guy, but I'm not going to be the guy that's going to move him off of his spot. Some people are just a little too fixed for me. And I wish him the best, you know, and I hope he gets the help that he needs. I think he will. Because he's in Portland now. He moved from the East Coast to Portland. Portland's a lot more forgiving of folks that he's got a lot of mental illness, and he just refused professional help for the longest time. I think he's getting it now. But one recent story was he just sent me this text, you know, cursing me out for not paying one of his bills. Like, you know, and I realized wow. what I had done. Right. I had like taken responsibility for his life in a weird kind of way. Right. And I was just like, you know, no, I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
And then he, you know, he was like, I'm done with you. And I'm like, I texted back. Okay. You know, and that was it, you know, yeah. And now, you know, I kind of, you know, view him from afar, you know, cause I kind of like to check up on him every once in a while, but
right, right.
The day-to-day contact has been cut, and I don't, you know, it's not like I wanted to, because you know I still love the guy. It's just it got too weird, and that most of that is on me too. So I'll take right. the responsibility for that.
Okay, right. So I, you know, we can both agree that life's circumstances, they aren't always positive, you know.
And right,
for
right.
Many people, when life knocks them down, their thoughts are dominated by the negative aspects of that experience. So maybe tell us, you know, how has a positive mindset in life affected the work that you do and the interactions that you have with others?
Wow, that's a big question. You know, let me ask you this. I've heard it called like, the positive to me, the positive side can also be called a growth mindset. And I think the negative Nelly mindset is a little bit more fixed. Do you see that too? Do you know where I'm going with that?
Yes.
Where like the negative folks there, you know, and I think this in my journey of life, I started learning about how important attachment and a self-identity are, right? You know where I'm going with this?
Yes.
So back when I was, you know, more negative, then I would always be like, oh, okay, so let me tell a story, all right? So I was in the Air Force and we were getting ready. This is right before I retired, so like 2007. Okay. We were getting ready for one of these big, huge inspector general inspections where they come and we have to practice our war games. So for about 6 or 8 months, I was just on like full on vroom vroom, you know, 12, 14 hour days, just trying to get everything done and get our unit ready for this inspection. And it was the night, yes, because I was working nights really late and I shouldn't have been. The night before the big inspection, okay, so the big inspection was we had to send a handful of troops through this pretend we're going to war line, right? And part of the game is you have to pretend like you're going to war and you have to pack up all your bags really nice, right?
Right.
So the boss, my boss, says to me, no matter what you do, don't let anybody go home before you make sure they have all their stuff together and you go through the checklist and everything's squared away. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you got it, you know? And for 9 of the 10, I did that because they brought their bag. We went through the checklist and la, 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 right? Then the 10th person was my buddy. And she had not had her stuff together before, and this was kind of like a surprise, and I trusted her and I didn't. So I went and I got the checklist and we did the whole thing, and she was missing a bunch of stuff, and I'm like, okay, should we go home now? And she's like, I gotta pick up my kid, blah blah blah, if you need to come over it'll be like 9. And I'm like already exhausted, and I'm like, okay, all right, fine, just if you screw up, it's both of our asses.
Right? Right.
And I trusted her. Right. And what happens? Of course. She doesn't do her thing and she doesn't get her bag ready. And she shows up and her bag is as we would say in the military, totally jacked. I mean, she only had one uniform. She's supposed to have four, you know? And so it's like, bam, bam, bam. And you know that sinking feeling in your gut? You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
That one where it's like, oh, this could be like federal prison or something.
Whoa.
Right. That's every time you screw up, the first thing you think of in the military is, oh, man, they could send me to jail. You know, it's never that bad.
Right.
Right. Unless, you know, you
zero to 100, zero to 100.
You're not supposed to shoot. Right. So, yeah. So then as she's going through the line, then I'm remembering my boss very, you know, with the finger saying, you know, no matter what you do, don't do the thing I did. And I'm like, right. He's going to die. First, he's going to kill me. Then he's going to die. So anyway, oh, man, I never saw anybody more mad in my life. And the dude is still mad at me.
To this day.
To this day. He pretends he's not. But, yeah, he won't take my calls. So anyway, yeah, that just, I had to feel that for like a week, you know, where this dude could not look at me without like walking away,
right?
You know, and like smoke coming out of his ears. You know, and I usually don't piss people off like that. You know, I'm pretty good, you know, it's just like that sort of like combination of exhaustion and trusting somebody that I shouldn't have trusted,
right.
You know, because if I had say like made her come in like 2 hours early the next morning and her bag would have been jacked, at least I would have done what my boss told me to do. And in the military parlance, that's called covering your ass, which I failed to do.
Right.
Right.
So that was, you know, and, you know, I was going to go into that, and I'm glad, you know, you spoke about this, shared this story, how this kind of was like, you know, a little failure moment. So,
yeah,
how did you kind of, in your own mind, like you said, you had to just feel that for a week of him just steaming out of his ears. Like, how was that, you know, it became a teachable moment for you, or how'd you learn from it?
Well, I was trying to think about this because I love this story, the beginning of the story. I guess you have to flash forward to the kind of end, okay? So he let me stew for more than a week. So I was feeling really bad about it.
Right.
And, you know, just like fearing seeing him ever and avoiding it. Because I literally thought he was going to punch me, you know?
Oh.
Yeah. So, but then so many weeks later, what happened was he made up his mind. He was going to have the colonel of our unit write me a letter of counseling and then sign it himself, okay? And then put that in my permanent record, okay? So, and then in the chief's mind, you know, that was like a really bad slap on the hand, right? And that would have been thoroughly and totally devastating if I wasn't going to retire in 6 months.
Right.
But seeing that I was going to retire in 6 months and I wasn't going to get promoted anymore, and that folder that they were going to put that letter in was going to get destroyed in 6 months, it had absolutely no effect on my life whatsoever.
Hmm.
So, right. So then you can laugh about it. Then that was my moment. Now, I learned that, you know, I think I learned that even when, you know, you're going through those intense stress moments, you know, I just literally forgot to say, you know, you need to show up, you know, 2 hours before the inspection with all your stuff. To this day, I wish I would have done that.
Right, right.
You know, you just lose track of stuff when you're moving so fast and you've got, you know, you're overloaded and overwhelmed. So I guess, you know, the moral of the story is push stuff off your plate as much as you can and focus on what's essential, because I totally missed the essential moment there. The essential ingredient to my survival was make sure she did what she was supposed to do.
Right, like because you were basically responsible for her.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally.
You know, as you were telling that story and you got to that final, like, the, whew, that moment,
Yeah.
I just kept thinking of, this is nowhere on the level of, you know, the military, but you know that, that feeling when you, maybe you're driving on the parkway, it's late and you're tired and maybe you're doing a little few miles an hour over the speed limit.
Right.
You don't recognize, you don't realize. And then you pass a cop, you know, and then
right.
you're looking in your rear view mirror, that sinking feeling, like he's going to pull out.
Sinking feeling. Right.
He's
yeah.
going to pull out. He's going to pull. And then he pulls out and then you're like, oh my, he's coming. And then he passes you by and then it's that.
It's the inhale.
It's the inhale, right.
The extreme sigh. Yes.
Yeah. That you're like, and you're like, wow, I am alive today. I am living.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
Oh, trust me, I had tons of moments like that in the military, you know?
Wow.
Well, you know, no, here's the thing is like, I'll tell a story and it's a quickie. Okay. But you know, I don't know if I told this one or not on my show. Let's hope not. But, I was in Saudi Arabia for 59 days,
wow.
right? And yeah, well, very short. It was supposed to be 90 days total.
I was going to say, it's pretty short, right? And
it's very short. Yeah, they what had happened was the guy that I was supposed to replace in the rotation had to suddenly leave because I think a family member died. So they sent him away on emergency leave to go be with his family. And so then the person that was already identified to take his place came up lame and sick. So I was sort of like, I was like a last minute fill, and they had to go get a general to sign off on me going. Right.
Wow.
So it took all this time just to get all that straightened out. So I was sitting there being ready. I was ready to go on the day that I was supposed to be there on. And yeah, it didn't turn out that way. But anyway, that's not the story. I was there and one of my troops was like a young airman, and she was like tall, blonde, and pretty.
Right.
And she had a real mouth on her to like everybody.
Sailor's mouth.
Know? No. Just disrespectful.
Oh,
you
okay.
know,
okay.
You know, she was just saying like things like to, you know, captains and anybody that would come in
whatever,
and
yeah.
say, hey, blah, 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 and ask a question. You know, the first things out of her mouth would, that's not my job. You have to see this person. I know. Totally unacceptable. Anywhere. You can't do that. Not even, if you work at McDonald's, you can't do
you
that.
You can't anywhere. Do that.
You can do that anywhere. That's not my job. Shut up. Get out of here. You know, you'll have to see this person. I'm not even going to take a note before you leave. You know, that kind of attitude, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she was thoroughly in need of adjustment. So, and that's simple. You know, I had been a supervisor before and I knew how to do that. You write a letter, right? And you tell them, I'm going to mail this to your commander at your home base unless your behavior improves, right? And then you stick it in your desk, right? And you follow up on that. You know, if they really don't, you know, straighten up, then you do it again. And you say, now I'm going to send two, you know, I've never actually mailed anything to the commander at home.
Right.
But I would, right?
Right.
So the rub here was that my boss didn't want to write anything down. He was one of these, I don't want to write anything down guys. So he was just talking to her. Just talk to her. Don't write anything down. Well, she had been talked to so many times, and then I got yelled at. So finally, we were able – I wrote the letter. I told her the story. She went through a little hissy fit. And then one of her friends, you know, the other girl that worked in the office with me, she was cool. But she was like, he's really going to send that letter to your commander. He will. Trust me.
He will do this.
That's right. That's right. And it came from, you know, one of her peers. And – that's what straightened her up, and thankfully I didn't have to send the letter. She got better.
She got better. And you know,
but the real lesson though is that that's all BS, right? I was totally stressed about it, but then I went home and whined about it to my roommate, and he's like, "Dude, did you get shot? Were you shot at?"
And you're like, "No."
Then shut the F up.
Right. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
The military mindset, you know,
it puts everything in perspective.
Puts in perspective. Yeah. And, yeah. you know, here she was out of line, you know.
Yeah.
And in a way, even though you were the one that was kind of there to correct the behavior, it was almost like you were a mentor. And that, I know in the military, you know, the line, chain of command, really everybody's a mentor to everyone.
Everyone.
And, you know, I believe that mentors are so crucial for helping us build a mindset of positivity, and walking us through and showing us the bigger picture when we don't see it ourselves. So maybe tell us about a mentor in your life and how they helped you.
You know, it's funny because when I saw that on your sheet, I was like, hmm. You know, most of my mentors I don't like. No, I'm just kidding.
That's okay. You know what? You could like them. You never know, right? It could be either way.
Here's the thing. It's like you have to like a mentor so much that you give them permission to piss you off.
Yes.
That's my experience. Because my mentors were the folks that amazed me by what they got out of me. Does that make sense?
Yes.
There's this thing that they're like, this is what you're going to do. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that.
You were looking through the trees. Yeah. You know, you were kind of looking through the vines, and they were staring at the top of the forest. They saw the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so, yeah, there was a guy, he was my boss / buddy. Sometimes when you're really close in rank and you get along, you can actually make friends with your supervisor. You're not supposed to, but so this guy was my buddy and boss. So, he had that knack of, you know, pushing me, and I'm glad because I learned a lot. He got me a lot of schools that I would not have otherwise sought out. And you know, just the right amount of leanness,
right,
in your faceness, right. But you know, if you pushed it too much, you know, then you know you're gonna the mentee just shuts down. But if the mentor hits the note just right, you'll be like, fine, you know.
Right.
You will reluctantly grow. Right. I guess that's my take on mentor-mentee relationship. You know, it's a little bit different than a coach.
Than a coach, yeah.
Yeah, as a coach, you're paying, you know.
A mentor is just there kind of taking you through it.
Right, right, right.
So maybe share with us the most gratifying moment that you ever experienced when you were maybe helping someone or mentoring someone.
I just told this story, so let's see if we can make it more interesting. Well, it's on your show, so it's automatically more interesting. I don't know if this is necessarily mentoring, but I'll tell it anyway because it's a great story. So
we love stories. We love them.
There you go. There you go. This was a few years back. I was still living in LA, and it was Sunday afternoon, and my football game was done, and I decided to take a bike ride down to Redondo Beach from my house. And then once I got there, I thought, meh, you know, I'll have a beer, watch a little bit more football, and then go home. So I'm sitting in the bar, and I'm taking a bunch of crap because I have all my bike riding gear on in a bar, and people are teasing me.
Right, right, right.
So I start slowly taking
this stuff. This guy's intense.
Yes, yeah. I'm taking it off, you know, because I had my strap on leggings because it was cold.
It was cold.
So anyway, yeah, I'm trying to get out of my uniform and drink my beer and watch my game, and this older couple, sort of like pulls me over to their table, and we start drinking together and watching football and talking, and before I left, they had totally opened up to me about how they had lost their son to suicide.
Wow.
And we cried right there in the bar.
Wow.
And, yeah, I know. It was,
that's amazing.
It was totally amazing. And, and
for them
really
to open up like that.
Right. Yeah. So I was talking to another one of my guests, who was it? It was, Jason Troy. He's going to be on my show. Not this week, but next week, I think.
Awesome.
Anyway, next week. Yeah. I talked to him about it because, you know, he's a coach and he has some real intense kind of coaching sessions, but this was just a spontaneous thing, you know, but totally gratifying because I think for whatever reason, whatever space I was in my, you know, journey, that I was just open. You know, sometimes, what is it?
Sometimes you're closed off and we don't realize it.
Well, yeah.
To sometimes, accept someone's.
Right, right. For feeling. Whatever reason, these folks just, you know, knew that they could share with me. Right, right.
Wow.
And I would be open to that. And, you know, of course I was. And, you know, whatever spiritual thing I was into then, I spewed that out.
Right, right.
But it was still, you know, it was authentically gratifying because I think they got a little catharsis. I mean, and then, you know, because that's got to be so devastating as a parent, you know? I can't imagine. I can't even imagine what that would be like.
Yeah, and then to share that story with a stranger, and you know, they're gonna go forward now, and they're not gonna forget that conversation. That was, you know, that
right. I will never forget it either.
Yeah, you helped them, and they changed you, and they helped you. Yeah, in totally. A way.
Yeah, no, they did, and it was funny because you know they ended up calling one of their other kids. To drive us all home. We threw my bike in the back of their truck, the pickup truck. And then when we're trying to exchange numbers at the end of the night, and I live in LA, right? Well, kind of LA bigger version.
Right.
And most phone numbers here all start with 310 area code, right? She could not get it out of her head. Every time I tried to give her my number, which is not 310 area code, she's like, 310. I'm like, okay, guess we're not going to exchange numbers.
Yeah, I guess we're never going to hear from each other.
That's right, and I never have. I kind of vaguely know where they live because I was there.
That's yeah. Great.
It was awesome.
So, Jeff, we're coming to the end of the interview, but before we go, what's one book you would recommend to our listeners today and why?
My new favorite book is by Greg McKeown, Essentialism. And it's just about how what we were talking about earlier, about how, you know, I missed that one essential piece of advice from my boss.
Right.
You know, we're all busy being busy. You know, it's like you have to be busy. I would imagine you're worse off than I am because you're on the East Coast. At least our busyness over here is like, I got to get my nails done and then I got to go to yoga and then I got to get my massage in. You know, we're all busy being relaxed.
Busy being relaxed. Yeah. It gets a little crazy in New York sometimes. Right. I can definitely agree.
Yeah. Yeah. You're moving a million miles an hour. So essentialism is about learning to say no and like intentionally taking things off of your plate. Is essentially what it is. So you don't, you know, a lot of times you just get stuck doing stuff because you got stuck doing a thing.
Right.
And, you know, and you don't really need to do it, but everybody expects you to do it, you know. And when you start saying no, the book is saying that people actually respect you more after they get over that little negative hit from your rejection.
Interesting.
But once you get used to it, though, I think, you know, I haven't finished reading the book, but I'm in love with it. It's on my iPad. So I read a little bit here and there, but I'm totally digging on. Have you ever read the Brothers Kazimarov?
No. What's it?
You have to. It's amazing. You'll love it.
What's the name?
I don't know what kind of, it's by the Brothers K. It's a very famous classical work. Kazimarov. It's Russian by, all right, everybody will know. You just Google it. Hold on. I'll
Dr. Google.
yeah, Dr. Google. If you just like type in Brothers K, Kazimarov, Brothers Kazimarov, and then Google that, you'll get it. But it hides out as being the brothers. One of them killed daddy, okay?
Wow.
And that's kind of like the what keeps the plot moving. But it's this amazing book about... You identify with nearly all the characters, and it's about ego dynamics and how we're all full of our own BS.
Right, right.
That's why I love it. So that's why I'm not reading Essentialism as much as this book has it all. I mean, it's amazing. And that's another book recommendation I got from Tim Ferriss, another great podcaster.
Great. Definitely going to check it out.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, truly inspired today, man. Love your positivity. Love your message in life. You know, I love your humor. It's great. You know, it's infectious. I like to be funny too, and I love how we're able to riff off each other. So definitely awesome. And thank you so much for sharing all of your personal stories.
Yeah, this was a really good time. We should hang out more. You should be on my podcast.
I'd love to. Excellent.
That would be great. Cool. All right, we'll hook it up.
Excellent. So give our listeners just some little last words of wisdom, the best way that they can find you, and then we'll say goodbye.
Okay. Well, you can check out my podcast. The long version is roomroomveer.com. The short version is vvveer.com. Yeah. And my show goes live every Monday morning. And it's 3 a.m. here. So on the East Coast, that's 6 a.m. So I want to be able to be ready for both commutes in case you want to listen to it on your drive to work.
Awesome.
Yeah, we talk about veers, and we talk. I talked to a PhD who's studying brain chemistry in mammals and comparing that to human behavior.
Wow,
she was amazing. I know,
that's incredible.
How did I get her? I know. I love this. This is amazing. So yeah, so it's a lot of fun, and check it out.
Absolutely. And, you know, Jeff, our audience is well aware that they can find the links to everything that we mentioned in today's episode by going to positivityeffect.com, clicking on the podcast tab and finding you in the archives, or just entering in your name in the search bar and your show notes page will pop right up. So
cool.
Thank you so much. You've been so generous with your time, your stories, your humor. You got me fired up, man. I love it. We've definitely been empowered by your positivity. So, Jeff, be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Thomas. Have a great one.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Positivity Effect. I promise to keep sharing inspiring stories with the guests each and every Monday. I hope you feel inspired, and I hope that we stirred some self-reflection in you on topics like transparency and compassion and empathy. Please check out the website at positivityeffect.com. Sign up for the newsletter, and I'll send you some tips to get you thinking more positively. I would also love to hear from all of you, so please write to me, because every Sunday, I'm going to share an inspiring story from one of the listeners, just like yourself. If you have a story where you exhibited compassion towards someone or you paid it forward, I'd love to hear about it. So thanks again. If you love the show, please head over to iTunes, leave a review. It means the world. Take care, and talk to you next Monday.